Picture a bottle of lightning. Keep it in your head. Add details where appropriate. Two years, the time between Star Wars or John Wick, the time between 23 and 25, between arrival and departure, between survival and ruin, between visions of the future and the future itself. The creatures of the 70s move slower, live slower, living without counting years. They start and do not stop, but with each day shifting slowly into the next, clocks turning over their tops, the hands toppling sideways, radially twisting under the cover of darkness, belligerently insisting that today has been today for 4 hours. Nobody sees the rodent that scurries down the pendulum between the floorboards of the landing. Or sees it ride minutes and hours like waves and surf. The tenants doze softly between LED dreams, not smelling the noxious odour creeping from the kitchen. Or the alarms that desperately wail for their attention. The rodent scurries into the crisp Sunday morning, whiskers bristle in the spring breeze. Still tethered, winter's grasp like its strides towards summer, to sun, to Ra, hoorah, to sand, to satin, clean sheets and a staircase. Talks don't tick. Thus endeth the lesson. They made it all the way to heaven, from thousands of sinners to just 4 saints. The question is why? The question is always why? What motivates them? What drives them? There's not a lot you can do if there's nothing. If you step back and observe the whole, you lose the fine detail, the sweaty palms, aching ribs, numbness in toes, fire in hips. No way through but through. You can play to win, but the pleasure is in the game. Losing is not defeat, it shouldn't gnaw. It's another trophy for the cabinet. I hate the letter T. The Lightning Bottle. A poem by Oliver Morris. Page contains a travel itinerary. Important artifacts required to traverse the skies and spit fuel into an inhospitable environment. I want to leave a good world for my kids. A place they can put down circuitry and roots. I want to plant cable in the backyard. I want to automate every function of my house. My kids can have the lights, the fridge, the TV, the FM. I'll even leave it little voice messages, short encrypted texts. I want my kids to grow and flourish in my neighborhood, in my county. But we always want the best for our kids and hope that they be better than us. Shit boys.
Shit boys.
Three standing, staring, doubting, dumbfounded at their dumb luck.
Looks like we've got a problem.
Are you kidding? This is wonderful. Look at it.
The bottle rumbled. The cat grumbled. Arcs touched every interior surface like fingertips looking for grippier bits, searching for escape. There could only be so long before the glass cracked like thunder. The youngest cut his thumb, smearing blood on the top of the cap, making it its own. The middleest cut their thumb too, enjoying the new community, fearing the sting of isolation. The eldest stared and stared and kept staring deep into the bottle, drenched in blood, the blue light, the spark bright, the bottle did not crack that day. Jude pens.
Don't woobify the trees.
Woobify?
They're little bastards, some of them. Hogging the sunlight.
Hoarding the nutrients. Turning the soil.
They know what they're doing, the little sods.
Maybe they don't. They are trees, after all.
Oh, they're ignorant as well. Add that to the list.
They reach the zenith of the plateau, looking over craggy green mountains that stood on their ends like pencils, weeds dotted amongst the rubble.
I'd settle for Kylie.
What?
Nothing. Turn around. You can't watch this bit.
Turning away from the crowds, started to roil. Blue light to dark grey, flecked with yellow. A sudden blinding light and...
Got it.
A roll of thunder.
It's done?
Yep.
You have it?
Yep.
Can I see
it? A green bottle of green lightning flew through the air into outstretched hands.
Royals get pissed like everyone else.
What?
Monarchs can wear a lampshade.
What?
What?
The center of gravity shifts, the base widens. A smell of tobacco, ozone, and rosemary hangs in the iodized air.
That's what, sir.
What, sir?
It's me.
You, sir?
Yes, sir.
I'm sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Sure. What, sir?
Wattage and outrage and iodized air.
So, that's how you get it.
I might have missed the important part.
How? You were standing right next to me.
I was turned away.
Well, fuck. You need to see it? You're one of those visual learners? Sure, fine. Eyes peeled. There's another coming.
Crowds roil. Bottle opens. Thunder rolls. Bottle closes. Green lightning inside.
Okay, now you try.
Clouds roil, bottle opens, thunder rolls, bottle closes. No lightning.
Well.
Well indeed.
Can't you just tell me?
Absolutely not.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. We could weaponize it.
Great idea. Great fucking idea. Weaponize it. That's what we need. Industrial lightning bottling factories that we can use against our enemies. The ones that look like us and sound like us but can't be us because we us and they're them. Great plan. Great ducking idea, you absolute troglodyte. I bet it'll make us money selling bottled lightning for warlords and fascists. Yes! I said it! Got political when you suggested we weaponize lightning! Soft and gentle swan lid maximally cooked add to yowl. Poached in boiling water and thronged through with skewers and tenderized and battered and plucked. The destufi and testified and it takes the fish and river water. They serve it in Cambridge and selected halls to posh fucks that no one cares about, but who don't care for us. They eat swan on Christmas and Michaelmas and for afternoon lunches and festive occasion. It sucks. So bad.
Because it's not even good. It's just exclusive and illegal, except for small loopholes they tied themselves millennia ago. A woman in a red coat connects to the platform on 3 points. Bored, she balances on the dirk of her shoes, adding her umbrella to the concourse for her final spiked form. Caught up in the ennui of the late night commute. Caught up in the bustling meditation. On the move without moving, teetering in any direction before escaping to Beckenham.
The problem is you're trying too hard.
Bald and blind, a gaze of no perch.
You're caught in the computational arithmetic of how it's done.
Rolling skies, bottle opens, thunder rolls, bottle closes, a green, iridescent glow.
You see? Already you've truncated the peripheral information. You're trying to predict chaos that doesn't get you any closer to the thing itself.
Why is it green?
Bald and blind, a gaze with no perch.
The last light was red. Looking straight into the red menace when it detonated. Professional explanation cited red receptors, overdriven and blown, the blue and yellow were only left, melted together, which is academically interesting, but
the only thing I see is black.
On the inside of train carriages, the brightly lit interior, eliminating all opportunity to watch the world at night.
Delusion stares down the carriage as it slithered along yellow tracks, resenting anyone who dared glimpse, untrusting of the out-of-order signs, catching reflections, copycats and imitators. Sat just to the left of the window, superimposed on the superimposing skyscrapers. A fucked man, truly in trouble, opened his umbrella. Just how much bad luck could that screw? Is there an upper limit?
There, like that. The constant quantifying. Stop it. If you cut the dream out of a dream catcher, you're left with no dreams and a shit net.
Why do you insist on dissection?
It's green because your eyes are green. It's green because your favorite colors are green. Green because you were blinded by red light, cones melted together.
eyed and bald, a gaze with no purge.
Well, which is it? One? The other? Or the other? Don't answer that, I've already heard enough from you. You could pinpoint every star in the universe, but you wouldn't have emitted light. You can know every aspect of my craft, but still haven't bottled lightning.
Delusion said nothing. Her presence was enough.
Download our app, said the phone in the red high-vis waistcoat. Picture a bottle of lightning. Keep it in your head. Add details where appropriate.
It lacks a connective tissue.
What a beautiful day to remember that the world is made of sticks. Dadaist asceticism. Hank, I'll see you. Everyone on the planet is owned by its members. You cannot buy Chinese food. It is not yet five. Existence instills fear. What do I need to do? Where is the spark of ambivalence? Where did this belief seep in? Of an all-powerful idea, of an unsung psalm? What festivals of atonement, what sacred games shall we have to invent? Rise, become, root out God, and kill them.
A bottle is not enough to contain it. It always escapes. It always escapes.
Bakerloo in the rain. Herringbone dry, hidden under overhangs as rain slops onto the streets, great lakes. Kaleidoscopic lights through the fog and droplets. Five stops. Red lipstick and peeled banana, the profile captured in the window between carriages, bop. Four stops, pad hammer, Nana nosh nonchalantly through the infinite scroll, no scratched, shit, I'm left with the skin, brown and spotted, lean curves. I'm leaving you for the last time, baby. You think you're loving. Three stops. I want to be free to roam the canals of Little Venice. Goodbye, banana, bop, tune, banging, nodding, in the groove, in the flow. The world's my own. Privacy in a packed carriage. London's most musical route. Two stops. A figure leaned over an automatic sewer. A seamstress stressed and seemingly asleep wakes with a start and holds the white linen and doiled garment. Attached to the head maiden, cover your face in gossamer. Next stop. Fire and flint, sharpen your pitchforks, killer tunes for a killer review. Pyres lit, bodies atone in green grass. Off. Between monk's mood and heron's nod, they sat cross-legged at every curve of their skull, traced the parabolic arc, following the pivot of their hip as the mother fishes through her purse for spare coins, and the student doctors lounge on stone plinths as their skull traces the perfect curve, slipping through the air, and every curve of their skull holds steady, and the universe slips around it, and the curve of their skull twists down forever. Rest on their biography. I did not look. I had no change. I could offer no change and didn't want the words to land, to pierce or ring true. But between monk's mood and heron's nod, they found me. I'm sorry. Reach not looking for one or two to pluck from the vine, but a collection to unroot at once. Torn like monkey bread with all five fingers, shoved without ceremony into waiting more, the bitter skins giving way to soft green flesh. It tastes green. Please, sweet and wasteful. But Locke would be proud. Prep.
What you lack in compassion, you make up for with nothing.
279 for queen pictures. Pages missing. I, 5, 9, 11, 21, 41, 43, 57, 61, 63, 79, 1, KU. Decompartmentalization is an 8-syllable word. Not to be confused with anti-disestablishmentarianism, which is a 12-syllable word, but is really a 10-syllable word. Establish. When an idea is solidified. Establishment. A place of business or a place with walls, usually with a sign that says when it was established. The establishment. The addition of a definite article turns it into an authority, established belief, established buildings. There is a credence and tradition within it. Establishmentarian. Someone who believes in establishments. Establishmentarianism. The belief of establishment. De-establishmentarianism. A belief that all should be torn down, broken its foundations, rebuilt or left to crumble. Anti-disestablishmentarianism is just the longer establishmentarianism. A suit in anarchist clothing, a prefix of anti establishes opposition or reaction, but it's reacting against reaction. It takes a hard stance in favor of the status quo, which is annoying because fascist is 2 syllables. That's not really true, but I'm a contrarian, just like the anti-disestablishmentarians. Decompartmentalization is an 8-syllable word. The citrus building, revolving doors with 3 partitions. Funding for audio dramas, South SX.
I'll kill you. I know where to dump the body.
Oh, you must show me sometime.
Sound design, editing, methodology, recorded on Saturday. Audio talking about her daughter, Kath, alone, tough skin.
What is necessary?
Do justice to the love. 50 minutes of audio, 14 to 15 max.
4 to 15 max 20.
Sound design, music library, Dropbox file, labeled in little folders, mood. Sound design, initial edit, spoken, and then add tone. First interview, edit, not over the weekend and not till Wednesday. It's so easy to make something overly sad. It's fitting. Don't egg it on. A man splitting into 1,000 fractals.
You are rooming with 2 people on a gaming course. You are inquisitive and want to see their work. One bit seems quiet and slightly autistic. Finding his work in a dream, he'll say he'll have to burn the whole book. He seems quiet at first, but look at his work suggests something's amiss. The book burning is the final clue. He chases you around an infinite staircase. There are flashes of noise where his whole face turns into a blood-red smiling demon. And he smiles, his face splinters and splinters again and again. There is too much of him to fully comprehend. There is too much reality, too much different between you and him to ever stand in his shoes.
Thank you. catches you. He's on top of you. He laughs maniacally and pulls down the knife, aiming for your heart. The heart splits into every atom. The knife melts the splinters off his face, revealing the red skull beneath. Pause. Hanging in midair. And behind them, further beyond, there is something else. So you crawl through the socket of his eye and you see a pale woman dressed in a Victorian maid costume. She looks at you and gestures to the pier beside her. And that's what you missed on Glee. Stuck in a room with a stick through a window, an Amazon parcel neatly next to the gate, the fine perfume smell drifts east through the window and into the lungs of the strange captive.
Who the fuck is he? What the fuck does he want? Why is he known for tracing the steps of the room?
Pacing back and forth, up at weird hours, keeping weird minutes and a journal of flowers. Ha ha! Rhyme of sorts. Very impressive. Do it again.
No.
So petulant, so insolent, so nice and comforting, quiet and soft.
As a crocked foot.
There is a light in the attic that doesn't go out. It's under the floorboards as still as a mouse, projecting thin stripes of dust-speckled paths, uniform and parallel, onto the rafters, and shattering shards should suffer the fate of another knocked box, or another broken lamp, or another tragedy, or another problem, or another chore. The light in the attic scuttles towards the sound, pulsing and projecting. Twists through the boxes and badges of old rubbish and luggage and garbage and flotsam and Christmas lights and creepy dolls and old euphemisms and pictures of relatives and pictures of friends and pictures of decay and pictures of rust and pictures of arguments and pictures of kisses and pictures of sound and the sound of pictures. Until the sound dissolved. Refracting backwards, further and further backwards into the attic and into the cupboard and into the doll's house and into the suitcase and into the bathroom mirror and into the kitchen sink and under the coffee table into the china cabinet and stopped. It listens. Our final destination. And then it moves and chugs and hops and skips and jumps and twists and twiddles and trapezes and shuffles and scuttles and sifts and shafts and shoots and skitters and slithers and scissors out of nowhere, sliced through the line. The attic illuminated in the sparks of the white as the light floats through the air at a 90 miles an hour and shoots out the window into the evening sky. Floating and following the track, illuminating the corners of your mouth and the shine of your buttons and the sheen of your lighter or the spark of your eye.
To die by your side would be a heavenly way to fry.
Still, slowly find your keys and 61016, lock clicks, darkened hall, darken, darker, dark. slide through the corridor into your bedroom and stay in your mirror. The Lightning Bottler was performed and written by Oliver Morris. Special thanks to James Curtis, Eve Marks, Sarah Golding, and Amber.